This is HPR episode 2928 entitled Building Markov Chains with Haskell, and is part of the series Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 30 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is How to Build Markov Chains with Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you're listening to the Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuturto. This time, I'm going to talk about Markov chains. Last time, we built a weighted list, so we have a list with items, and we can randomly pick one of them, and each of those items have a specific chance of being picked. And like I said, this time we are going to use that to build Markov chains. And the Wikipedia states that the Markov chain is a stochastic model describing a sequence of possible events in which the probability of each event depends only on the state attained in the previous event. And it's named after Russian mathematician Andrei Markov. So what this means is that you can build a chain of events, and each event depends only on the previous event, nothing else. One example would be throwing coin, maybe. That's not a particularly good example. For example, you could be moving forward, and then there's a random chance of you leaning to the left or to the right. And the chance of leaning to the left or to the right doesn't depend on anything else, but if you're currently leaning to the left or to the right or moving forward. That might be a better example. So we are after a fairly generic system, so we are going to use parameterized data types. And if you have a look at the show notes where I'm writing this in more detail, you might notice that some of those types have been prepent with an exclamation mark. That only means that when that record is created, all those fields marked with exclamation mark are forced immediately. They are computed immediately instead of leaving that computation for the further time or later time. So we have two items that we have, or data that we are going to work with. First is a config A. That's a record of two fields, config starts, which is list of item A, and config continuations, which is a map A list item A. So config starts is a list of items that are parameterized with the A. So if you have a, for example, indexes in our configuration, this will be item index. Or if you have some more complex things, then it will be item that more complex thing. And config continuations, it's a map A list item A, meaning that it's a map or a dictionary or hash table or associative array. There's many names for this structure, where the key is a A, type of A. Value is list of item A. So this, if the config starts tells you all the possible starts of the chain, then the continuations is a map where you can look with a current event key value, whatever, and find the list of next possible items. And the that's the config. And then the next data type is item A, that has a single value constructor, item frequency, maybe A. And frequency is that what we used in our weighted list. So item is a frequency where the type is maybe A. So when we have an item, we know that it could be a, for example, it could be an integer, and it has a specific chance of being picked from the list. And it is maybe A, because we also want to have our change to end at some point. At least some change we want to end at some point. Of course, you could have an infinite chain. But if you reach a nothing as a next element, it means that that's the end of the chain. Speaking of choosing items, in the previous episode, we wrote that choose function that is used to choose a random item from the weighted list. I renamed that to choose M. Otherwise, so if I'm talking in this episode about choose M, you will remember or think that it's the choose that we talked in the previous episode. Building the configuration. This was actually the tricky part. It depends on the case. You can hand code it if you have a small configuration, or you can what I usually do is you can feed a lot of examples to some function that analyzes those examples in some way and builds a configuration from them. Essentially, you need to take you basically need a example of change. So you separate the chain into the elements, and then you, from that list, you pick up all the starting elements, and then you add all the elements in the middle, keeping track of which element can lead to which one at which frequency, and then you also have to add the ending elements, those elements that don't lead into anything anymore. And all this while keeping track of the weights or frequencies, how often do these get picked up. But in this episode, we are just going to assume that there's a suitable config at our disposal. So let's start with the building the chain. We have one function, chain n, that has a signature of org a, random chain g, fat arrow, config a, arrow, rand g, list of a. So a has to be orderable. You have to be able to order them because we are using nat. And I seem to remember that's some sort of binary tree, and that requires that org instance. And g is our trusty friend random chain that we use for picking random values. So for chain n, we give a config of type a, and we get back random g list of a. So we get back a computation that we can run to get a list of a's. That is our chain. And for the implementation, it might be a good idea to look at the show notes. I'll try to explain this instead of reading this. So first we need our starting element. So that is starter, left arrow, choose M, open parent, item to frig, dollar diamond, config starts, config, close parent. So what we are doing is we are taking our, from our configuration, we are taking our possible start items, turning them into the frequencies, and using the choose M to pick one of them. we can could pretend that we have a syllables as a our element. So this would pick the first syllable. And then we have a case. This is usually you probably won't need this in practice, but I like to keep this just in case somebody feeds in our config that doesn't have any starter elements. So we don't want to crash our system in this case. So we have a case. So we have a case where we take that starter that we got, and if it's nothing, then we just return an empty list, because if we don't have a starting elements, we cannot do anything. We return an empty list. We got a chain of zero items. If we get a element, we call it age as a head, then we do that, we say that the T as a tail, left arrow, tail of chain config age. So we call a function called tail of chain, supply it that our config that we are using, and give it to our single element. And from there we get a list back. And then we just do age colon T, meaning that we take our starter element and put that in front and or build a list where we have that tail with a starter element in the front. And that's basically, well, that is what the chainME is doing. So now we have to figure out how to do the tail. And that looks almost identical to the chainM function, but we just need to, instead of choosing the using the starter, we are using the supplied value. And for that supplied value, we have to find out what are possible next values. So we start with that. We have a function candidate that has ord a, fat arrow, config a, arrow list of frequency, maybe a. So given a configuration and an element, we find all the elements as a frequencies that could come after that element. And here we are saying that the items are lookup x. X is the name of the item that we are looking the next element. So lookup x, config continuation config. So we are taking all the continuations we have in the configuration and finding the ones that come as a list that can come after the element of x. And because we are using map, we get back a maybe list. And then we again turn them into the frequencies, and because we have multiple maybes here, then we are going to do fmap.fmap item to track items. So this we might have a lookup returns and maybe a list, maybe list A, and that lookup might not find anything, and then might not be anything to continue. Like we might have a end of the chain, then we are doing the fmap.fmap, because that turns only in the case we actually found a list of items, and only in the case that those items are actually contain our next element, we are turning them into the to the frequencies. And then we are using concat, because we at this point we have a maybe list A. We might have that list, or we might not have that list. So we call concat, and that turns that maybe list of A into the list of A, if we don't have a, if we have a nothing, we don't have a list of A, we get an empty list. This is, and this could have been written in a bit longer way. I could have written case fmap fmap item to free items off, and then the case study nothing arrow empty list just x arrow x. So this would turn nothing to the empty list and just list into the list. But concat is a shorter, more compact way of writing this. And this is the thing that Haskell is pretty not tricky, but a lot of things is about just remembering or knowing that there is a suitable tool, so that you don't repeat the same piece of code multiple times and you don't re-implement code that is already available in the standard library. So I tend to use a tool called Hoogle, that is a search tool where you can put a signature of a function that you are after, and then it suggests that these functions do the similar things, and then you can look through that list and try to see if there's anything that is useful. And that helps me, because then I don't have to remember everything. And also I hadn't even realized that you could use concat to do such a thing, but now I know that, because I did the search and realized that you can do it like this. So Haskell functions really are like a Lego bricks. They have slots for incoming data and checks for outgoing data, and then you just clip them together and build bigger pieces out of them, and then you can, and those bigger pieces again have slots for incoming data and text for outgoing data. You can snap them together and make complete programs. And sometimes you need a small adapter to make things fit. Then you have to write that small function by yourself and put that between two bigger pieces to build even bigger piece. So Haskell is actually a relatively simple language when you get over the initial learning hump and don't wade into deep end of the mathematics, because one has to remember that it is used as an academic research language, so there's a lot of mathy theory out there that it is interesting, but that is not required for you to understand what you are doing, and you don't need that stuff to be productive with Haskell. It's enough that you know some details, some basic things, and then you can start building the programs. And while you're building it, then you learn a lot of things. And I've been learning a lot of things writing these and talking about them in the Hacker Public Radio, because every time I talk about these things, I have to really understand what I'm talking about, go through the code, and often at that point I find that, hey, there's this part that would be written nothing in a different or more clean way. But anyway, so candidates is a function that, given a config A and an item, and config A and A returns a list of frequency maybe A's, meaning that this is a list of items that can follow the item that you gave to. So now that we have that, we can finish our tail of chain. Tail of chain is a function with a signature of hort A, random chain G, fat arrow, config A, arrow, rand G, list of A. So given a configuration and starting item, it returns a computation that gives you a list of items. That's a chain. And that's almost identical to the chain M, except that instead of choosing from the starters, you are choosing from the candidates. So item, left arrow, choose M, candidates, config C. So given these candidates, pick one. And if that something is nothing, we get an empty list. We return empty list. And it could be nothing for two reasons. There might not be continuation after the item, or the continuation after the item that we picked might be nothing, signifying that there could be a certain elements could have a 25% chance of being the last element of the chain, depending on the configuration. But if we find the element, then we just call XS left arrow tail of chain config X. So X is what we found. Then we call tail of chain with our configuration and X. So given this item we found, compute the tail of the chain. And then we return the X colon XS. So we take this one item that we were handed, that this is the starting item, and we stuck that in front of list that we computed and return that. Okay, so in the end we sort of have a list where the first item is age, next item is choose m candidates config age, and then it's choose m candidates config age prime, choose m candidates config age prime prime, and so on, ending to the empty list, which is the end of the list. So the H prime and H prime prime are just meaning that this is the based on the previous element. So we are just really computing the whole list, and the tail of the list always depends on the current element. And that's how we can build Markov chains that are of generic type and depend on the configuration. We could, for example, have a really simple one would be actually flipping a coin. There's always a 50-50 chance on the head or tails, and then you would get a long list of heads and tails. But that's not particularly interesting. I'm going to later on going to show what it is that I'm writing this for, and what I usually use this for. So a couple extra things still. So for convenience, we sometimes don't have that rand GA at hand, and or we want to work with generators directly. So for that we define another function, chain, that has a signature of ord A random chain G, fat arrow config A arrow G config. It has a signature of ord A random chain G, fat arrow config A arrow G arrow tuple of list A G, meaning that given a config and a random chain, we return a tuple where the first element is a list of A, our chain, and the next element is a new random generator, new state of the random generator. And this is just implemented as a chain config G equals run rand open parent chain M config close parent G. So we are constructing that computation with chain M, and then we are calling run rand G that will run our random generator, our computation with supply generator. Sometimes we would like to have an infinite amount of chains at hand. Like, for example, we would want to have five chains, and we want to filter those chains based on some criteria. So easiest thing to do that is to just build infinite list of chains, then filter that infinite list of chains and pick five first ones. Of course, when you are building an infinite list, you are not actually building that infinite list. You're just making that this is a computation that you can, that will compute your infinite chain, and then you can just run that computation as much as long as you need, so that you get the amount of items that you want, and then rest of the list. Well, it isn't really there, but if you look, it's there. So it really is, from your point of view, it's an infinite chain. Just don't try to, for example, count the amount of items in that, because that doesn't work. So that infinite amount of chains is a function, chains, with a signature, org A, random chain G, fat arrow, config A, arrow G, arrow list of list A. So instead of list of A, which is a chain, we get a list of chains. And this is defined as a chains config G equals C colon chains config G prime. So where C comma G prime equals chain config G. That's it. So we are making a list with a colon. Colon is a function where, or infix function where the, on the left side is the head of the list and the right side is tail of the list. So left side is a single item, right side is a list. So we are taking a list and putting one element in front of it. So we are making a list where the first element is a chain that we made with a chain config G, and the rest of the list is a chains config G prime. So we are using recursively calling chains. We are giving it the same configuration, and we are giving it a new random generator state that we got from the chain. And that one, of course, will make a list where the first item is again chain, and the first item is something that you got by calling a chain, and the rest of the list is something that you get by calling chains. So it's a recursive function that never ever terminates. But because Haskell is a non-strict language, meaning that it's kind of like a lazy language in this sense. I don't quite grasp all the finer points here, but one can think that it's a lazy language where the values aren't computed until they are needed, or if there's that exclamation mark in front of the type, then it's computed immediately. So this works because Haskell is non-strict. That tail of the list is waiting there to be computed. So we have a list of C colon C prime colon C prime prime colon C prime 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 until the, well, infinitum. And I think that's about it that I'm going to talk about Markov chains. So given a configuration, we can build a single chain where each item depends only on the previous item. And those chains can be finite or infinite. And we can build one chain, or we can build infinite list of chains. And what we do about those chains, I'm going to look next time. So the hardest part for me here was actually building the configuration, like configuring the configuration, because it depends on the case. Sometimes it's easier to hard code it by hand. Sometimes you need to have lots of examples that you analyze and build configuration from there. And I have code for example, for thing that you have a chain and then you add a new item. And sorry, I have a configuration and then you say that this item is followed by this item. And that is, it's a pretty, well, not complex, but there's a lot of code, and that's an amount of code that wouldn't be fun to listen to me read aloud. So that's why I'm skipping it. Well, in the meantime, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, they are always welcomed. Best way to reach me is by email or in Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social, or even better if you record your own Hacker Public Radio episode. Catch you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.